Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the firm foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
Have a lesson today entitled Principles of Insight. Principles of Insight. And this is an exploration. It's not a lesson I've completed. It's a lesson I'm currently working on and learning from. In fact, the lesson came from this morning's devotional reading, and we'll get into that. Oftentimes for Bible studies, I've just taken my devotional readings from Bible Gateway. Oftentimes, God just kind of gives me insight, that's the word, right? He gives me insight and encouragement to teach something that I've read or studied in the devotional. So let's get into this, Principles of Insight. Amen. We're going to start out here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, something Paul said to Timothy, I believe, is very relevant. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules, that the hardworking farmer must first partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. And that last phrase right there got my attention. I like what Paul said there to Timothy. Consider what I say. Now, understanding comes out of considering what's been said, what's been read, what's been understood. There's an old phrase in computing programming that says garbage in, garbage out. You know, if the program is written is not good, if it's a garbage program and you work that program, only garbage comes out. And so it's kind of a crude way of saying that we need to make sure that we are feasting on, feeding on, reading, consuming good, wholesome, godly, informational things. Now, we have our entertainment sources and all that, but, you know, we don't want to base our insights on movies and TV shows. I mean, there's some things in there, but let's fundamentally, like Paul said, consider what I say. And Paul said a lot. Paul wrote letters. Paul taught the disciple. He visited churches. He sent people. He did a lot of teaching, a lot of writing. Consider what I say. And of course, the context was about enduring hardship, right? The people, the believers in that day had persecution. He says that no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, right? We don't send people off to the army, to battlefield, you know, having to take care of all their bills and things. I mean, they're responsible for stuff, but obviously you cannot carry a calculator and an adding machine onto the battlefield, you know, or a computer, a laptop. So obviously he's telling us that we have to focus on the task. Then he says, in athletic context, verse 5, if you compete in athletics, you're not crowned unless you compete according to the rules. So if a sprinter is doing a 200-meter dash and runs out of his or her lane, they might think they've won the race, but they're disqualified because they ran out of their lane, right? So it's important to understand that we live, we walk by faith, we're obedient to God. We're not legalistic, but we're obedient. We take the scriptures and the Holy Spirit seriously, and we don't think we're gonna go forward without competing or working according to the guidelines of the Word of God, God's kingdom, and God's Spirit. So again, Paul just saying, consider what I say. So this whole lesson is kind of based on the thought of consider what's being said, what you're reading, what you're learning, and the Lord will give you understanding. Let's define insight. Okay, insight is defined as the power or act of seeing into a situation. Insight is the act or result of apprehending the inner nature of things or of seeing intuitively. Insight is the capacity to gain accurate and deep intuitive understanding of a person or thing. A clear, deep, and sometimes sudden understanding of a complicated problem or a situation. See, these are the various definitions in the Webster's Dictionary or English dictionaries about insight. Now, let me say this about insight. Insight is inherently subjective. Subjective meaning that it comes from our own knowledge and experience. So insight is really objective. I mean, for example, if I say to you the sky is blue, then that's not insight. That's just objectively observing the sky is blue, right? If I say something like, it looks like, it's going to be a humid day. It may rain later, and that may create a problem, somehow for an event. That's insight. Insight is based on some level of knowledge. I've looked at the forecast. I see the conditions. So insight is subjective, always is subjective. And so because of that, it can be good or bad. It always depends on, it will depend on one's own knowledge and lived experience, okay? We only learn the value of an insight after we have time to reflect on it and view the outcomes. You know, now I'm on social media, it's part of my ministry. I read, I write, I post, I follow people follow me. And we're all keen on trying to share insights, right? We share insights. But the thing about insights, they're always subjective. So someone may say, well, this is the way it is. Well, we shall see. We're going to find out, okay? Because an insight, once you give it, all we got to do is wait and see and reflect on the outcomes. Now, often you can't measure the insight, the value of it, in just a moment or even a day. But we know that there are insights that have been, we've heard and read and learned from decades and centuries ago. I'm gonna give some examples in a moment. So we all have insight, but insight comes from knowledge. So somebody who's not reading the Bible and praying and reading current events and studying up on issues and really, their insights are going to be subjective and they're not going to be helpful, right? Okay. Now, here is part of a speech by Abraham Lincoln. He gave this speech on June 16th, 1858, when he was running for senator in Illinois. He said this, "A house divided against itself cannot stand." That's obviously from scripture. "I believe this government cannot endure permanently, half slave and half free. I do not expect the union to be dissolved. I do not expect the house to fall, but I do expect it will cease to be divided. It will become all of one thing or all the other." Right? He predicted conflict. He saw that this slavery is not sustainable. And the house divided itself won't stand. And then 3 years later, the Civil War started, right? He was president at that time. So this was an insight from Abraham Lincoln, who was campaigning for a senator of his state. Again, we always find out the value of insights later. And of course, in this case, he was correct. Dr. King said, "It is just to obey just laws. It is also just to disobey unjust laws." That was an insight. So just as, they would sit in places that colored people shouldn't sit, they go sit anyway on purpose. Rosa Parks rode in a part of the bus, wouldn't give her seat up. Well, if it's an unjust law, it is just to disobey it. At the same time, it's just to obey just law. So this was an insight that people called him a rabble rouser, a rebel and all. He wasn't a rebel. He was exercising his constitutional rights as he understood them, right? Even though he wasn't afforded all of them. Again, that was an insight. We've later confirmed that was correct. Here's I found this quote today looking for some insight quotes, you know, those quote websites. This author, I don't know who he is, but he said, a giraffe doesn't waste time quarreling with the rabbits over what the top of the tree looks like. Yeah, you know, in fact, I was into a discussion today online with somebody talking about what's wrong with black people. You know, that's a big one now, if you're paying attention to that. I mean, people who are not black telling us what our issues are and what's wrong with us and all this kind of stuff. And the temptation is to engage with people. Now, sometimes people, if they ask a genuine question, we can engage. But most of that stuff is just people trolling and saying dumb things. And the bottom line is a giraffe doesn't quarrel with the rabbit over what the top of the tree looks like, right? So at some point, you don't talk to some folk about certain things. It's just pointless. They have no understanding, no knowledge, and it's frustrating to hear people go on and on about things they haven't even studied. They're against things they haven't studied. Listen to that. They're against things they haven't studied. And that's a big problem we have today in our society, spiritually as well. All right. Another quote. Frederick Douglass, 1845, he wrote this. He said, it was a speech and it was transcribed. It says, I love the pure, peaceable, and impartial Christianity of Christ. I therefore hate the corrupt, slaveholding, women whipping, cradle plundering, partial, and hypocritical Christianity of this land. Indeed, I can see no reason but the most deceitful one for calling the religion of this land Christianity. I look upon it as the climax of all misnomers, the boldest of all frauds, and the grossest of all libels. Wow. This is what Frederick Douglass said, okay? He said this a lot because he had insight. He had been a slave, right? He escaped from slavery. And there was no assailing Frederick Douglass. See, even today, we have people who have lived experiences who are trying to speak to issues. Other folks are saying, in essence, I know more than you, right? I'm not even black. I wasn't raised in the hood. I haven't had any experiences about being African-American. Yet I'm going to tell you that, you know, critical race theory is no good and the whole woke thing is no good. And so this is the problem we have. See, now, again, we have to be careful because you don't want to be the giraffe quarreling with the rabbits. But you need to also set forth your insights. We have to say what God has told us to say. And so it's important for us not to ignore and be silent because, I know this. All of us aren't called to this. Now, first of all, I'm saying this. All of us aren't called to engage on this level. It's mostly the work of people in social activism, preachers who are prophetic. Everyone isn't called to engage like this, right? And let me say just quite frankly, if you work for white people, you have a difficult, it's difficult for you to get into all this stuff. Some of us don't work for white folk. We work for God. Nobody can fire us. Nobody can call in and complain. Don't really, because we are just free. And that's our role as preachers and pastors and prophets. Somebody have to be able to speak the truth in love. I mean the truth in love. It is love. It just comes across kind of firm sometimes. All right. Another statement here. Here's Proverbs 18:1. Again, insight. This is scripture insight. Give you some social insight. Here's scripture insight. A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. Insight. Now, you know, when you don't see somebody, you stop seeing somebody in church or, you know, in your friendship circles or family circles. Often this is what's happening, right? When a person isolates himself, he is seeking his own desire. He's not seeking the will of God. He's not seeking to serve the purpose of God, the church, the family. He's just seeking his own desire. He's turned inward, right? And he rages against all wise judgment. So when you say something, they get mad at you. And so it's amazing. The Proverbs is a book full of insights. So insight is so important to life. Insight, you know, gives you that understanding in the moment of what's going on. That's why we read the Bible. We pray. We're Bible studies like this. We're You know, we're keeping up with what God is saying because we need insight. All right, let me go on here. Here's some insight on fools. Don't be one, okay? All right, a fool, the way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. See, so people are becoming foolish. That can be us as well. When what we do seems to be right to us. We haven't even tested it. Haven't even weighed it. We just assume it's right. We've seen this in our world, in our politics, in our former president, all this stuff. But a wise man listens to advice. All right. Proverbs, that was Proverbs 12:15. Proverbs 18:2 says, a fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing his own opinions. Right? So fools aren't trying to first understand. They just want to tell you what they think. Again, they're commenting on things they haven't studied. They're against what they haven't studied. And we see this all over today. Again, Proverbs is giving us insights on human behavior, right? And we all are subject to be fools. Just don't be a fool because, you know, you're only this far from being one, okay? You're one wrong decision. You're one step from not listening to becoming a fool. All right, Proverbs 29:11 says, a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. Wow. Proverbs 18:13 says, he who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame. Again, that's a big issue in social issues today. People want to answer before they're listening. Again, critical race theory is one of those bellwether things. These folk haven't read it, they don't understand it, but they're against it because someone said be against it. It's exposing white supremacy and other things like that, and they don't like that, all right? It's more than that, by the way. And by the way, CRT, the people who understand it, don't all agree. It's an inquiry. It's critical race theory. It's an inquiry. It's not a final conclusion. They've made some observations that are empirical. That is, empirical means it's observable, like the sky is blue. If the sky is blue, you can't argue against that, right? If you've experienced racist act, that's empirical. People say, no, I wouldn't. It wasn't racist. There's no systemic racism. Well, I keep seeing stuff. Why do I keep seeing it? So again, your insight is subjective, and it can be wrong if it's not based in empirical events and evidences, right? Again, we're talking about fools, so don't be a fool. The Bible says much about this. It's not hard to avoid. Mainly, we have to be listeners. We have to be people who value understanding, who value just being quiet and learning before speaking. All right. Here's a marriage insight, okay? My wife and I, we did a series. We talked a couple of years ago. From time to time, we teach about marriage. We've been married 42 years. We've been happily married 42 years. We know about marriage. We have lived experience. We have insight, okay? So when we say something, you can dismiss it if you want to, all right? But I probably would advise you not to. So here's one statement. I pulled this from one of our notes. It says, know the reality of the real while pursuing the ideal. One thing we've learned in all of our years of attending marriage events, grappling with issues in our marriage, observing other marriages and the rest, is that the gap between the ideal and the real is like the Grand Canyon. That's an insight, all right? And so are we in love, ideal and real. It's still there. I know we're in love. Wife and I have been in love for 40, I met my wife at Ball State University. I've loved her for a long time. And we found out early on, the ideal and the real is a gulf between those two. See, that's an insight. And so when people, and young married people have all these rosy ideas and don't balance it with the real, then it's going to be a problem. Again, just give you an example of an insight. We need insight, okay, from good sources. And again, it's our subjective point of view, but again, depending upon the source. It's always subjective and it can't be right or wrong. It depends on who's saying it and what is their lived experience and their wisdom in God. Now, here's something I posted. This was today. It'll show you how things are. I'm on Twitter and I engage, and that's part of my ministry is engaging people. Now, this guy wrote this. He made it public, so I'm telling you right now. I'm showing you here publicly. He said, if I were evil and wanted to destroy the prospects of Black Americans for generations, I would advocate teaching critical race theory in the 1619 Project in schools and ignoring lessons on strategies for success. That would get it done. Isn't that something? This guy presumes to know what is bad for us and presume that we're not dealing with strategies for success, or that critical race theory, you know, is a source of destroying the prospects for a Black. It's just stupid. Okay, it's a stupid statement. But it's the kind of thing that we deal with all the time. I mean, those of us who are activists, those of us who are engaged, we see this stuff every day. Look, all he had 9,000 likes on that. See? 2,000 share retweets, right? I'm telling you, some white folk, and evangelicals are into this. And, it, you know, and so now we're aware of, we're woke, and that's become a controversial term. But now woke means aware. So we're aware, and some of us are have the assignment to just keep preaching the truth, speaking in love, you know, rebuke, reprove, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine, okay? Another slide here. This is just today, okay? So I posted this, and we've reached a tipping point where narratives have become shorthand for willful ignorance. We have direct knowledge and empirical evidence. And I'm showing three books that I've shared with you. White Too Long by Robert P. Jones, Urban Apologetics by Dr. Eric Mason, How to Fight Racism by Jamar Tisby. These are solid books based on empirical evidence. It's not, of course, they're insights, but they're insights derived from learning and lived experience, all that. And so one person replied to this post. I don't know who she is. She trolled me. She's a troll. And wrote this. Right. Only teach young men victimization over success strategy. This will work out great, I'm sure. See what I'm saying? That was her insight. But that was foolish. That was, you know, obviously off base. It's just ridiculous. But it's the kind of stuff that we deal with. I'm telling you, it's symptomatic of systemic racism. If you're Black and you're online and you post something, they're going to come behind you and say derogatory stuff. All right? And that's evidence. By the way, that kind of proves critical race theory, some of what has been discovered from that research and inquiry. This is the behavior of people in our nation. Now, not all, you know, just some, but many, too many. Now, watch this. So then that was my response to that, okay? Well, I didn't respond. Well, my response isn't shown. I ignored her. You came back and said something else stupid. And I just said, well, enough of that. And I moved on. All right. Now, again, back to our text. So Paul told Timothy, consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. All right. That, again, was back to this idea of considering what's been said, what's been written, what you've learned, what you've heard preached and taught from sound sources. You know, there's something called QAnon, which is some sort of a movement that believes all kind of weird things. I haven't studied it. I don't plan to. But there are movements like that. I saw a poll today that said 25% of people think Donald Trump is still president. 25%, okay? This kind of stuff. So we have people who are giving their insights, but they're based on lies. Of course, there is the big lie, right? Quote unquote big lie that Donald Trump won the election and he's going around saying, I won it and all that. That's the big lie. Well, this is a part of the problem. at every level. In fact, the Bible says that when people believe a lie, it leads to strong delusion. And that's another issue we have going on. So then people who are deluded are giving insights and opinions, right? You see the vicious cycle here? That's why we bring light. We don't just argue with people. We bring light. We bring light. We preach the gospel. We engage and disengage strategically. We plant seed and let the seed work, right? If you put the word out there as a seed in prayer, just drop it or your own insights. Just leave it. Let God use it if he wants to. We don't argue with people because it isn't our human strength that's going to win the argument. It is a sound insight that God can use that may help some people. But there's some people who are never going to respond. Well, we know this, but we still go out and preach the gospel and bring hope to this world. Now, insight comes from a wellspring of knowledge, lived experience, and understanding spiritual principles. Now, you have insight within your spheres of knowledge and expertise. So, you know, my wife's a teacher, educator. She has expertise in education and how to manage and nurture children. We have nurses in our congregation. We have, you know, my dad was auto mechanic, you know, for many decades. And Elder Owens works for Indianapolis Power and Light Company, understands electricity. I'm into theology. I know what the Bible teaches, how theological systems and the kingdom works. And many of you, have that knowledge as well in Christ. And Dr. Kelly, others do public policy. So we all have insights, but it's based on a wellspring of knowledge. And if you could follow some of us around, you see us reading all the time, reading and studying and reading and comparing and listening and reading books. And we got a stack of books we need to get to. We're finishing up a book. I mean, because you don't get insight from nowhere. Insight comes from a wellspring, like a well full of water. It's a wellspring of knowledge and lived experiences. You know, I'm seeing that older folk, and I'm getting older, your lived experience by itself has insight that younger folk just don't have. They got other insights. That's why it's a mistake for young folk to cut off older folk or to think that, they're expired now, I'm the new hotness, whatever people might think. I hope that's not the case, but it seems like sometimes it's a sense where, you're old, I'm young, you stay over there, I'll be over here. That's not the way it works. Old folk need to gain, the grace that young folk bring, but young folk need the wisdom of older folks. So lived experience and then understanding spiritual principles. That's where being a Christ follower comes in, knowing what the Bible teaches, how the kingdom works. These are all factors in helping us bring insight, live insight, bring insight, share insights. So what you say, what you write, what you share is going to be helpful to people. Let me share a story. Now, well, first a verse from Peter and then a story afterwards. All right, here's Peter talking about, this is very strong scripture dealing with how we come to the place of having the foundation to have spiritual formation for good insights. Let me read this here. All right, so it says, turn off my picture here so you can read it without my, here we go. All right, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness. And he has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. That's good, isn't it? So then the insight, well, many insights here, but one of which is that, you know, you don't have to stumble. People make excuses all the time for doing the wrong things, you know, cussing, drinking, you know, all this stuff people do. But listen, you, if you do these things, you will never stumble. That's an insight, all right? And then we're in the process of adding to, faith is great, but add to your faith, virtue, add to virtue, knowledge, and so forth. These scriptures, I'll tell you, are life-giving. And they cause the wellspring to be present within you. So you can live from something. You can speak from something more than just, you know, what you think, you know, in a vacuum, right? All right, you got that. I'm going to go on there. Now, here's the story I'm going to share with you. And this was my devotional reading today from John 9 that got me thinking about all this here today. All right, the danger of blindness, John 9, 24. A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. Again, Christ healed this man. They summoned the man, give glory to God by telling the truth, they said to him. We know this man, referring to Jesus, is a sinner. He replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. Here's his insight. I love this. One thing I know, I was blind, but now I see. You can never argue against empirical evidence. I was blind, but now I see. They said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered, I have already told you. You did not listen. Now see, he's talking to blind. These educated leaders were blind. This simple man who had gotten healed had more insight than these leaders. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciple too? He's messing with him now. All right, turn off my video here. So then they hurled insults at him, right? So when people are blind, they can't have their way with you, they just start insulting you. And they said to him, you are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. You got that right. There's an insight. So this story is amazing. Let's break it down like this. The dangers of blindness. All right, here are the dangers of blindness. One of which is religious authoritarianism. Authoritarianism. All right, where someone in power just wants to throw their authority around. All right, someone has position, they got a title, and they think that because of my title, I don't care what facts you have, what your lived experience is, you know, none of that compares to what I said. And that's religious authoritarianism, where someone just thinks that, you know, I'm right because of who I am. Next is they go from bad to worse. People who are blind go from bad to worse. Obviously, if you can't see, you're going to stumble and stumble again and stumble worse. And the old saying is, when you're, they keep digging when they're in a hole. Advice is, if you're in a hole, stop digging. But blind folk just keep on digging a deeper hole. Next, unwilling to acknowledge the obvious empirical works of Jesus. So these guys, these leaders, couldn't even acknowledge that God, Christ healed the man. It was a miracle. And yet they just, because they were blind, their blindness came from this religious spirit, from this. In fact, I missed one point here. Let me go back up. This is important. Blind to God while talking about God. There it is. Blind to God while talking about God. Now, that's religious arrogance. Again, this is what blindness does to people. And then we come down again, unwilling to acknowledge the obvious empirical works of Jesus Christ. All right, disrespecting people who don't fall in line. right? That's another indicator of blindness. I'm giving you insights on blindness now. You follow this? Tone deaf, won't listen to others. See, a tone deaf person, they just tune out certain things you say. They just tune out. They don't hear it. They're thinking about what they want to say and not listening. Again, that's a characteristic of blindness. Hanging on to dead people and old things. Now, he talked about, they said, we're disciples of Moses. Hey, man, Moses is dead. This is Jesus, the one that Moses, you know, said would come. And yet they were too blind to recognize what the scriptures taught them. And their old things would be the old paradigm. So these are good examples from the text of how blindness takes hold of people. It's very, very sad. And matter of fact, that's my last slide, actually. I'm going to stop there. Again, this study today, I wanted to do this study today. Really, like I said, this lesson is ongoing, right? This lesson is being developed. I see something more here. It really ties into our teaching on Go Forward to Imago Dei. Insight is so important. Insight through the Holy Spirit, through knowledge and wisdom and education, from all these different lived experiences are so important today. So I encourage you to let insight rise up on the inside of you, okay? And let the Lord really put yourself in position to continue to grow in God. Let me bring my slide back up here. Put yourself in position to have insight by staying in prayer, reading the Word of God, reading, you know, important materials, not just everything is in the Bible, other things as well, listening to people, all the above, so that when you need to have insight, you'll have it. For example, in your areas of expertise, because you know your work and you're trained and you're good at what you do, oftentimes problems arise, right? And you think a little bit, you may pray, and then, oh, I got it. And then an insight comes, and a solution manifests itself. See, you don't get that. That's why they pay you. You know, you're paid to solve problems. And if you paid really good, you're solving big problems. Okay. So the idea of insight is it's subjective. It's you, but let you be developed to the point where the insights that come out of you are helpful and useful. All right. Well, I trust you are blessed by the lesson today. Thank you for joining us. We have several on YouTube, so thanks for being on YouTube today. I see you there. Thanks for being on today.